1 Kings chapter 18. We want to consider this evening, with the Lord's help, the opening two verses of this particular chapter. And there we read, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria." It had been 3 years since Elijah the Tishbite last appeared before Ahab. Chapter 17 and verse 1, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these 3 years, but according to my word." And that was the message that Elijah delivered unto Ahab. It would appear that the prophet had spent 1 year hiding at the brook Cherith, and 2 years with the widow of Zarephath. During this time, the focus has been on the personal experiences of Elijah. His personal experience there at the brook Cherith, and then his experiences in the house of the widow of Zarephath. But now it is time for Elijah to face Ahab once again, and to deal with Baal worship that was going on throughout the land. A land that was now in the grip of a great famine, as we have just read there in verse 2, "And there was a sore or severe famine in Samaria." And because of that, Elijah was a wanted man. Look there at verse 10. "As the Lord thy God liveth," Obadiah said, "there is no nation or kingdom whether my Lord," that is Ahab, "hath not sent to seek thee." And when they said, "He is not there," he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And so Elijah was indeed a wanted man. And if Jezebel could have got her hands upon him, she would have done to Elijah what she did to the other prophets of the Lord. She cut them off, and we read in verse 13, "Was it not told, my Lord, what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord?" She would have slain Elijah also. And if there was a time for Elijah to hide himself, the time had now come for Elijah to show himself. And that time had now come. "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab." He'd been told previously, 3 years before, to hide himself. Now it was time to show himself, because the enemy must be faced, the cause of God must be vindicated, and the worship of Jehovah must again be established in the land. The time had come for God to visit Zion. And in these two verses of 1 Kings 18, we notice first of all the opportunity for Elijah. Elijah was given an opportunity. Number of opportunities. The first verse says, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came on to Elijah." The reference there is to the 2 years Elijah spent at Zarephath. After many days, it had been many days with the widow woman. It was 2 years of waiting for the Lord to speak to his servant, and for the Lord to reveal his will unto Elijah. And here we have Elijah lingering. He was lingering in Zarephath. He lingered for a while at Kerith. 3 years or so had passed since Elijah first confronted Ahab, and for 3 years he had been lingering at Kerith and Zarephath. He had to wait many days before he would face Ahab again. Sometimes the Lord makes us wait. He makes us wait before we are able to carry out what he has called us to do. From the day that Moses saw one of his brethren being smitten by an Egyptian, until the day that the Lord appeared unto him in the burning bush and told him to go and face Pharaoh, between those two events, Moses waited and had to linger many years. Moses had to spend time in the desert, in the backside of the desert, before he went and faced Pharaoh. Samuel went to the house of Jesse and anointed his son David to be king of Israel. But years passed from that point in time until David occupied the throne. He had to wait. He had to wait and he had to linger a while until it was the Lord's time for him to sit upon the throne. The Apostle Paul, following his conversion on the Damascus Road, also had to wait. Indeed, he had to wait 3 years before he became fully involved in the work of God that had been given to him. You turn, please, to Galatians. In Galatians chapter 1. And there we read about Paul and his waiting. Galatians 1 and verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Paul here speaks about being separated unto the Lord to be a preacher of the gospel. And when he was saved and called to preach the gospel, he says, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem, that's where all the apostles were. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. And so it was 3 years between Paul's conversion and Paul going forth in the full-time service to preach the gospel that he had been called to preach. He had to wait, just as Elijah had to wait, and just indeed as the Savior himself had to wait. For we consider the length of time that the Lord Jesus lingered in Nazareth before he commenced his public ministry. That public ministry was marked by his baptism at Jordan. And we read in Luke 3 and verse 23, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. So the Lord Jesus waited for 30 years, even though he came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. It was 30 years before he began his public ministry. He had to wait. And sometimes the Lord makes us wait, even though we are keen to get started to the work that he has called us to. A friend of mine over in Ulster believed he was called into the ministry. He applied to our presbytery in Ulster to be accepted as a student for training. He was interviewed by the examination board. Gave his testimony, told about the leading of the Lord in his life. And after they interviewed him, the examination board advised him to wait 1 year. They wanted him to get more experience in preaching and to prepare himself in a better way before he began his studies. He has to wait now until September of 2010 before he begins his studies. But that's no new thing. Elijah had to wait before he went out and faced Ahab once again. Elijah would have been the type of man who just would have wanted to get into the battle straight away. But the Lord said, wait. Moses had to wait. David had to wait. Paul had to wait. And the Lord Jesus had to wait. And so Elijah lingered in Zarephath. But we find not only Elijah lingering, we find Elijah laboring. He took the opportunity while he was at Zarephath to work and to labor for the Lord. He may have been, or may have had to spend many days in the home of the widow and her son. But while he lingered there, he labored there. While he waited there, he didn't waste his time. But he worked while he was there. Paul tells us in Colossians 4 and verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Did he think those words were written for Elijah? Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And while Elijah was in Zarephath in the house of the widow, he most certainly walked in wisdom toward them that were without. Because the widow was without, and so was her son, and those of the household. And Elijah walked in wisdom toward them, and he most certainly did redeem the time. Paul was saying there to the Colossians, don't waste your time, but redeem your time. Make good use of your time. And while Elijah waited and lingered in Zarephath, he made good use of his time. The apostle had the same message for the Ephesians, saying unto them, seeing then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And the days were evil in Israel and Samaria, Elijah's time. But Elijah redeemed the time. God's people are not to be lazy, but we are to put to good use the time the Lord has granted to us. That is what Elijah did. He made good use of the time while he lingered in Zarephath. He helped the woman there. He helped her son. Example of his manual labors are not recorded. But he most certainly helped in other ways. Carried on the ministry of comfort and encouragement to the widow there and her son. He redeemed the time. While Moses waited until the Lord sent him forth to speak to Pharaoh, while he waited, he tended his father-in-law's sheep. He waited, but he also worked. While David waited to be crowned king of Israel, he served in the house of Saul. While he was waiting, he was working. And while Elijah waited, he served in the widow's house. He witnessed for the Lord, verse 14. He worked for the Lord there in verse 19. And he waited on the Lord there, verses 20 and 21. Most certainly Elijah walked in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And believer, let us follow Elijah's example. And let us redeem the time while we are waiting for what the Lord would have us to do for the next step in our service for him. And while we linger, let us use the opportunity to help others perhaps, to bring comfort to others, and to minister to others, as Elijah did. He lingered, and he was laboring. And while he was there, Elijah was learning. The waiting time was not wasted time for Elijah. For during that period, he learned many things at the hand of the Lord, and indeed he learned many things about his Lord. Sometimes people are laid aside, and laid aside from service, and they have to wait until they are well enough, strong enough to get back into the work. But while they wait, they often learn many things about the Lord. They have time to wait on him. They have time to commune with him. And they have time for the Lord to teach them many things. Elijah learned many lessons that would stand him in good stead when he entered the battle with Ahab and the Baal worshippers. For that time of many days, duration was being used by the Lord to prepare Elijah for the task ahead. What did he learn while he was at Cherith and while he was there in Zarephath? He learned about God's provision. For while at the brook, the Lord provided for him in a miraculous way, sending the ravens with the bread and the meat every morning and every evening. And again at Zarephath, the Lord provided for his servant, there in that verse 9. The cruse of oil did not fail. So he learned about God's provision. In a land of a great drought and a great famine, he learned to trust the Lord, and the Lord would provide for him. That's what he learned while he was waiting. He learned about God's provision, and he learned about God's protection. The Lord told Elijah, "Hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan." And again, for 2 years, he was in the house of the widow of Zarephath. For 3 years, the Lord protected Elijah. Even though Ahab was searching the land for him. And even though Jezebel had slain other prophets of the Lord, she couldn't reach Elijah. Because Elijah's work wasn't done. And a man is immortal until his work for the Lord is done. So he learned about God's protection. And he learned about God's provision. And he learned about God's power. He needed to know about God's power. And how God supplied the need of the widow woman. And how God raised up her son from the dead. It was God's power that did that. And Elijah learned about God's power. And he needed to know much about God's power when he would later stand on Mount Carmel and call for fire to fall from heaven. A symbol of God's power. And he learned also about God's patience. It was a long time to be waiting. for a year or so waiting at the Brook Cerith all alone. For 2 years there in the house of the widow in Zarephath. It's a long time to wait. But he learned about God's patience, for it wasn't time for Elijah to go up and face Ahab. God was patient. He would work according to his predetermined will and plan. And Elijah had to learn to be patient as well, and learn something of God's patience. As Paul says in Romans 15 and verse 5, the God of patience and consolation. God is a God of patience. We know that because he was patient with us. During all those years when we rejected him and his word, God was patient. And Elijah learned about the patience of God and the power of God and the provision of God. And he learned about the provision. And then we notice not only the opportunity for Elijah, but the order for Elijah. The order that came to Elijah. It is recorded, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year. Here we have the wait. Emphasis placed upon the time that Elijah waited. Came to pass after many days the word of the Lord came to Elijah. After many days. The last time the word of the Lord came to Elijah was when he was commanded to go from Cherith to Zarephath. There you have it in verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, verse 8 of chapter 17. Arise, get thee to Zarephath. It's the last time. That was 2 years ago. 2 years. That the word of the Lord had come to Elijah. He'd been waiting for 2 years. To receive a word from the Lord again. Telling him what to do. In the meantime, the Lord had communicated to him with regard to the widow and providing for her. For we read there in verse 16, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. On that occasion, the Lord spoke through Elijah. But it had been 2 years since the Lord had spoken to Elijah. That's a long time. It's described here as many days. Many days, and after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. But even with that word that the Lord spoke through Elijah, in the meantime, was still many days before the Lord spoke again directly to his servant. But even though he hadn't heard from heaven, even though he hadn't heard from the Lord, Elijah remained steadfast, unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. We've already seen that. He ministered to the widow and her son and her household while he was there. He still was abounding in the work of the Lord, and he had remained steadfast. He could have given up, but he kept on believing. He kept on believing. And believing in his Lord. Not hearing from the Lord. But he kept on believing in the Lord. Like Job, he said, yea, though he slay me, still will I trust him. We see that. And what Elijah believed in. during those 2 years of waiting, those many days of waiting. He believed in the promises of God. The word which the Lord had given to him, the prophet had held on to. The Lord had given him a promise in verse 14 of chapter 17. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. The Lord had given him a promise. Elijah believed that promise, because he told the widow woman to make him a cake of bread. He must have known then that the Lord would supply enough oil and enough bread, enough meal to supply the needs of the widow and her son and himself until the Lord sent rain again. He believed the promises of God. And when we have to go through those many days of silence, not hearing from heaven, not receiving a word from God, not hearing his voice, we must, like Elijah, keep on believing his promises. We must hold on to the promises of God. When you feel weakest, dangers surround, subtle temptations, troubles abound, nothing seems hopeful, nothing seems glad, all is despairing, even time sad, keep on believing. Jesus is near. Keep on believing. There's nothing to fear. Keep on believing. This is the way. Faith in the night as well as the day. Elijah kept on believing. What had he to hold on to? Promise of God. We must keep holding on to the promises of God. As we are here tonight, we must hold on to the promises of God and keep on believing. He believed in the promises of God. He believed in praying to God. He may not have heard from the Lord, but the Lord had heard from him. For there we read in verse 20, and he cried unto the Lord. We read in verse 21, and he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried unto the Lord. So he believed in praying to the Lord. Heaven had been silent for many days, but that didn't discourage the prophet from praying. And when you and I go for many days without hearing from the Lord, without seeing any sign of his power, we can easily lose heart. We can easily say, what's the point in praying? We can lose heart in prayer. We can lose the desire to pray. We can lose the hope in prayer. Elijah at no time lost hope, but continued to believe in prayer. And during this time of silence, Elijah believed in the promises of God. Elijah believed in praying to God. And also Elijah believed in being prudent before the Lord. Elijah, during those many days when he didn't hear from the Lord, could have said to himself, the Lord has forgotten me. Here I am in this house with a widow and her son. I've been here for 2 years. Haven't heard from the Lord. He's forgotten about me. And And since he has forgotten about me, I don't need to be as prudent and circumspect in my walk. Could have let down his standards. But while Elijah may have been away from the front line of the battle and hidden in the house of the widow, he still maintained his walk before the Lord. He believed in doing that. He believed in living that way. For we read in verse 24, and the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God." By his actions, his behavior, his praying, she knew he was a man of God. He didn't do anything to make the widow doubt that he was a man of God. So even when we don't hear from God and we don't have any communication from heaven in many days, let us continue to be prudent and walk uprightly before men. Let's not drop our standards. And while he waited for many days, he also believed in proclaiming the Lord. If heaven was silent, Elijah wasn't silent. He wasn't going to be silent. Look again at the words of verse 24. And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." The word of the Lord in the mouth of the prophet. He had been ministering to the woman and her son and those in the household. He continued to minister the word of the Lord. The prophet continued to minister the word to few people in the house of Zarephath. Maybe this is our Zarephath. This is the house here in Zarephath. What are we to do? We must keep on believing. We must keep on praying. We must keep on preaching. The word of the Lord must continue to be in our mouth. Poor Jeremiah felt there was no point preaching. The people weren't listening. People weren't interested in the word that he had to preach. And it was the word of God, but people weren't interested. We read in verse 7 of Jeremiah 20. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil. Because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Jeremiah said, I'm giving up. I'm not going to preach anymore. But then it goes on to say, but his word, God's word, was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing. I couldn't keep silent. And I could not stay. He just went on preaching. What else are we to do? We must keep on preaching. There's no victory in going back. There's no victory in surrender. There were no such thoughts in the mind of Elijah. He went on with the work of the Lord, even while he waited there at Zarephath. You have his waiting, and then you have the word. Chapter 18, verse 1, Elijah's long wait for a word from the Lord was over. As before, the prophet did not move from his place until the word of the Lord came to him. The long wait was over. Silence was broken. And it says in chapter 18, verse 1, and it came to pass. The silence hadn't come to stay. Silence had at last come to pass. The lack of communication from heaven hadn't come to stay. It had come to pass. Notice the word of the Lord came to Elijah. That's what it says. The other occasions, it says the word of the Lord came unto him. Verse 2 and verse 8. But here it says the word of the Lord came to him. That seems to be more pointed, more personal. Came to him. Came to him directly. In other words, the word of the Lord didn't come to the widow. And the widow said to Elijah, I think you should do this, Elijah. Though the word of the Lord came to Elijah. You see, no one can tell us what the will of the Lord is for our lives. I can't tell you what the will of the Lord is for your life. Only the Lord can tell you. And the Lord will tell you through his word. The Lord will tell you himself. The Lord will tell me himself. And we see once again how Elijah walked in the steps of the Lord's word. His life was ordered. His steps, his way, his path was ordered by the word of the Lord. How he lived his life, he lived it according to the word of the Lord. And many have made shipwreck of their lives because they have not obeyed or followed the leading of the Lord's word. They have disobeyed the Lord. They've ignored the word of the Lord and gone their own way and made shipwreck of their lives. There was no danger of Elijah doing that. That's how Elijah lived. We know that from verse 2, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. And verse 5 it says, and he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. We know that from verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath. In verse 10 it says, so he arose and went to Zarephath. We look here at chapter 18. And it came to pass after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah and said, go, show thyself unto Ahab. And verse 2 says, and Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab. He did exactly what the Lord told him to do. Exactly what the Lord told him to do. That's how Elijah lived. The Lord gave the orders and Elijah obeyed. The psalmist has said, blessed are the undefiled, or the word undefiled means sincere. Blessed are the sincere in the way who walk in the law or the word of the Lord. Blessed are the sincere. Elijah was sincere about walking in the ways of the Lord. So we have his weight, and we have his word, and then we have his way. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab. In total now, it has been 3 years that he's been waiting. 3 years he's been away from the action, as it were. The famine has taken hold on the land. And now it is time for Elijah to go. Go, the Lord says, go. Elijah, it's time to go. Show thyself unto Ahab. He didn't know what he was going to. He didn't know what was before him. But the Lord still told him to go. And you notice how he went. He didn't go with sword and shield. But he did go with the sword of the Spirit. Namely the word of God. Because the Lord gave him a sword. And the sword was the word. These were dangerous times for the prophets of the Lord. And the Lord gave Elijah a sword. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. There's the word. There's the sword that the Lord gave to Elijah. It was the Lord's own word. I will send rain upon the earth. In other words, Elijah went forth standing on the promise of God. Armed with the word of the Lord. How have our missionaries left home and gone to the unevangelized fields of the world to bring the gospel to those who have never heard? How are they able to go? They've been called of God, they've been sent, and they go forth armed with God's promise and God's promises. And when the going gets tough and things are not turning out too well, they can always go back to the Lord's promise. Lord, thou didst promise me what thou would do. And Elijah can go and face Ahab with the sword of the Spirit in his hand. The promise of God. God is going to send rain. And whatever would happen with regard to Ahab, Elijah still had the promise of God to fall back upon. Lord's going to send rain. And then finally you have the obedience of Elijah. As on other occasions the prophet obeyed orders without argument or dispute. And Elijah went. The Lord said, go. The next verse says, Elijah went. Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab. There you have Elijah stirring himself. Elijah's time to stir yourself. You've been waiting for 3 years. Now it's time to stir. And so he stirred from his safe haven and he went to show himself unto Ahab. I noticed that he didn't waste any time. I noticed that when the Lord said go, that he went immediately. He didn't delay. He didn't dally. He didn't tarry. He didn't linger. He'd been lingering for 3 years. Now it was time to go. And it says, and Elijah went. How unlike Lot was to Elijah. For there in Genesis 19, We read in verse 15, "And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And the next verse says, "And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city." No lingering in the part of Elijah. No tarrying. So it should be. That's the way it should be. Whatever the Lord orders us to do, we ought to do it immediately. So we read in 1 Samuel 21, verse 8, "For the king's business requireth haste." Christ is our king. He's our master. We are his servants and his subjects. And what he tells us to do, we ought to do it. And do it immediately. You have Elijah stirring, and you have Elijah surrender. The fact that Elijah obeyed so implicitly the command of the Lord proved he was surrendered to the Lord's will. We've already pointed out it was dangerous times in the land for the prophets of the Lord. Jezebel was on the warpath. She had already slain some of the prophets of the Lord. Obadiah had to hide 100 of them. And Ahab had gone personally throughout the land seeking for Elijah. It was dangerous out there. But still he went. Reminds me of Paul. Those words we read this morning in our Bible class. In Acts 20, Paul's farewell. And Paul says in Acts 20 and verse 22, "And now behold I go, bound in the Spirit." It had been 3 years with the church at Ephesus. "And now behold I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem." Listen, "not knowing the things that shall befall me there." Neither did Elijah know. Paul goes on to say, "See that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." Paul then says, "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Paul was surrendered. "None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. I'm going to Jerusalem to preach the gospel because I've been told to go." Elijah had been told to go, not knowing what things may befall him. But we read that he went. He went immediately. No tarrying, no delay. He was a surrendered man, surrendered to the Lord, just as the Savior himself was. Christ lived a surrendered life. He came to do his Father's will. And praise God, he did it. Did not fail in one thing. He did only those things that please him. May we take some encouragement from the word of the Lord tonight. with regard to our own situation here. Let us keep on believing. Keep on praying. Keep on preaching the word. Let's bow our heads in prayer.